What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, just before we start, you may notice that Joe's voice sounds slightly peculiar at the start of this episode, but don't worry, we do get it fixed within the first few minutes. But we decided to keep it in because, you know, it sounded quite funny, so enjoy!
Hello, and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. It's me, Simon.
Hello, Why did you make it sound like the news?
Hello, and
welcome to the IGN UK podcast at 11:30.
Just trying to mix it up. Yeah, things are getting a bit samey, aren't they, these days?
So you've gone for the news?
So. I've gone for the
We're
news.
We're all watching news for... more than ever.
Yeah, the saddest thing you could go for, you went for that.
You know, art imitates life, and I've been watching a lot of news, so I thought I'd invoke that sort of image onto myself.
Art?
Jesse, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm all right, thanks.
I think this is art. We're creating, so...
Of a sort.
Yeah,
this is art.
I'd say we're that one, Chief. Expelling rather than creating.
Well, do you know what? We put a lot of art into it, so...
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
There we go.
Only works if you're from your neck of the woods, innit?
Oh, do you know who doesn't put a lot of art into things? Iron Man. Because he has to have a little, he has a little electronic thing that keeps him going.
You know, sometimes we make fun of you for those segues, but actually, I think it takes courage to do the things that you do.
Like, have you just deepened your voice?
So just Joe. To try and say the things that you try and say. I liked it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Iron Man VR.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just on Skype or if it's going to record like this, but yeah, your voice does sound slightly mad. It sounds like you're underwater a little bit.
Does it?
Like, you sound really deep.
You got like a really deep voice going on right now. It's quite concerning.
Oh, this happened to me with someone else.
Oh my God.
Oh, do I sound very, very deep now?
Yeah, yeah, it's really weird.
Shall I stop and listen to myself?
Yeah, but I'm going to keep rolling.
Yeah. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, sure. Wait a second. I'll leave the call and come back in.
Oh, my God.
And then you can tell. One sec.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
This is...
Well, that's really interesting. I wish
I had the
ability to do that.
If it just sounds normal for everyone... Yeah, if it just sounds normal for everyone listening, this is just going to be a waste of a minute. But... Hello, Joe?
Is this any better?
No, you sound the same.
Just speak normal. I don't know. Are you speaking normally?
I'm speaking totally normally.
I thought you had a little accent thing going on. What the fuck?
No. What? But I can't have you just not listening to what I'm saying for the rest of the podcast and not concentrating.
Well, I can hear you. It just doesn't sound like you.
I know, but that's weird, isn't it? Wait a second. I'm going to unplug and replug.
Jesus Christ.
Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I think I sound better now.
Oh, good. You're not underwater anymore.
Well, what's weird is, yeah, like I was saying, that's happened on other podcasts I've been on, but it was a problem of the connection over Skype. Not that my microphone decided I sounded much cooler for a little bit.
I thought you were slowly turning like a little knob you had or something, or a little dial. It was wicked.
Slightly turning everyone else on, mate. Unbelievable.
It was quite alluring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were just doing your best Iron Man impression.
Well, if you listen back, it's like that for the entire start of the podcast. So I think you two just didn't know that I was... really sexy for a few minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what was happening. I'm glad I brought it up, though, because that would have been mad for an hour.
Because I love... Also, in retrospect, I'm making fun of you for doing a silly thing with the news, but it sounds like I'm putting on a voice to do it.
Anyway, Joe, the reason I bring up Iron Man is because you have been playing the old Iron Man VR game.
I have.
Ooh. Have you shouted, "I am Iron Man" yet?
Yeah, I scream it almost constantly in the house. My girlfriend's left me. My neighbours called the police.
No.
Oh, no.
And I've blown a big hole in the wall like that cool advert that it's got at the moment. Have you seen that? Yeah. I hate those adverts where it's like, you're so into VR that it's really going to destroy your house.
Your life. Really sells the product, doesn't it?
Really odd.
God.
But apart from shouting and alienating everyone you know, have you been having any fun?
I've been having fun when it allows me to have fun. The problem I perceive with Iron Man VR, and I will say I'm 2 hours in, and Tom, I think, finished, our reviewer finished it in about six, okay. Even though they said it was an 8 to 10 hour game. I think that implies doing a lot of replaying missions for higher scores that lets you unlock stuff.
Okay.
What it does is spends the first 2 hours essentially putting you in tutorials. Like, I've played the prologue and chapter one and chapter two, and during that time I've done exactly one thing as Iron Man, and the rest of the time was just flying around his house being like, I'm good at flying now, do a time trial. So the problem it had... I'll say the good things first. The flying is just unbelievably intuitive, and either... Iron Man's system for flying just makes perfect sense in your head because you've seen it so much, or, and I think this is probably more accurate, they are doing a great deal of work behind the scenes to make it feel like you're very good at it. So the idea is basically, if you don't know, you're using your two move controllers as if they were Iron Man's hands. So, you know, when he flies around using little thrusters on his hands, and then he'll lift up those hands to shoot things with his repulsors and stuff. So it works on the same principle. You've got two triggers on the back, and when you're holding them down by your sides, it makes you fly up. If you hold them in front of you, it makes you fly backwards, etc., etc. And it feels almost automatically like you just get it straight away, and you start flying around, there's boosts and stuff. And that is super impressive, although I think I was taking the piss a bit and I did end up feeling incredibly sick.
I was going to say, does it feel weird that you're constantly going from basically a laying down to standing up position, despite standing up the whole time?
What do you mean laying down?
When he flies.
Oh, no, so the idea is he's constantly flying upright. You never go horizontal he does. Okay. You're constantly doing the sort of more hovering manoeur rather than flying forwards. So
Have you actually got freedom of movement then? Because in my head, I thought it was like on rails, kind of like a Iron Man.
So in the mission, the one proper mission I played, tutorial bits are all like big open areas, and that's completely free movement. The one mission I've played is like chasing down a plane that's crashing, which is, by the way, extremely cool. And that is... On rails, to an extent, you're always moving somewhat with the plane, but it does a really good job of making you feel like you need to be the one keeping up with it. This is kind of what I mean by the behind-the-scenes stuff. Apparently, the way you move is also based on where you're looking, so it does a certain amount of auto-adjustment based on where you clearly your eyes want you to go. But that's almost imperceptible. Like, it works so seamlessly that... you don't have a feeling that it's being guided by your head at all. It always feels like your hands are doing it. It's really, really smart. And then, like, shooting stuff feels great because that immediately makes sense. And then when you start getting upgrades, like I just unlocked smart missiles, what you do is literally, instead of holding your hand up, you hold it down, which causes the gauntlet to open up and reveal the little missiles. And, like, it's just little gesture control stuff. So they get the minutiae of how Iron Man's suit works really well. And obviously the HUD being the thing around your face works, and like a lot of the stuff about being Iron Man just fits. I think it's the game that's the problem. So they spend way too long tutorializing you.
Yeah.
The story is like laughably obvious from literally the prologue. Like, there is a thing that happens in the prologue where if you don't go, oh, I get it, then you're probably not paying attention.
Right, fair enough.
So it's... like... when I started, I was like, oh, this is going to be the Batman VR thing, where I love that game. I think it does a really good job. It's in and out, and it plays with its ideas really perfectly. Mm. And unfortunately, I think Iron Man VR is aiming to be more of a game, which I get, but it doesn't feel like they've found much game to work with, and they've just stuck lots of bits in between. There is a lot of walking around just being Tony Stark, having chats with Pepper Potts and looking around your house.
It's not Tony Stark VR, is it?
No, that's the problem. It's like, yeah, there's long sections where you're just looking at books in his house, or like, and it's not even as... I actually think like Batman VR just does that stuff better, because there's more to play with, like playing that piano and shit.
Is that mainly how the story is told, though? Just like for you and, what is it, Pepper Potts just talking? Like,
yeah, more or less. Man, the worst part of it is the loading times are atrocious, even on a PS4 Pro. And like, even when you've finished loading, it will start long sections with a completely black screen, just hearing Tony Stark's thoughts explaining the plot to you.
Oh, and, like, right, okay.
You say, oh, wow. These guys, it feels... This is probably unfair, but it feels a lot like, hey, we spent 3 years making How You Fly around, and the last 6 months of the story. It's just not as... And I have to be, you know, transparent. I haven't finished the game. Maybe it's fucking incredible by the end, but judging by our review and other reviews I've read, it feels like that is very much the overriding opinion.
It feels like I will... I haven't tried it yet, but there's a demo available for free, so I might try that and might even find that you get your fill from the demo. I don't know what section is actually in the demo, but I heard the demo was very good.
I thought it was the plane section in the demo. Because I thought that was showing off advertising stuff.
And that is, like, that's the best bit of the first 2 hours. So if you get to play that, probably done.
How does it actually look?
It doesn't look good. But, you know, it's... Fair enough. You're barely paying attention to that stuff in the moment.
Yeah,
like, when you're flying around, and especially with the amount of micro-adjustments you need to do with flying, like... It's really not the thing you concentrate on.
Fair enough.
Is it one of you that has tons of kids outside your house?
Yeah, I was just about to close my window, because I normally do, and I realised I hadn't.
It sounds like we've got an incredibly creepy bed. Like
I'll do that
instead
now.
Of like radio-style music, we've just put the sound of laughing children underneath everything
we
say.
I would be concerned if I had children in my apartment that I didn't know
They've gone.
What an odd audio experience this podcast has been for people.
This is just like, we're really letting everyone know what really happens.
That's what happens when you're working from home, you know, you get a little bit of that personal taste in the environment.
I feel like we've done well over 3 months in that this is the first time we've had any real audio experience out of the norm.
All right. That's it for Iron Man, I'm done. Can't be arsed anymore.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Jesse.
No, I will play some more.
You've played Hyperscape, the new Battle Royale game from Ubisoft.
Oh, yeah, baby.
You've played it, as well
I
as Matt.
Have.
I think Matt has written an excellent preview.
Yeah, preview went live yesterday.
I've watched bits of the game. I've had it explained to me. I still don't fully get what's going on because it's very hectic, but maybe you can enlighten me.
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy. So obviously, if you haven't seen it, and Kai's already said it, it's an upcoming or already released Battle Royale first-person shooter from Ubisoft. It's the technical test is happening right now. So if you want to jump in, you actually have to watch Twitch and watch other people play for endless hours before you actually get a drop. But the game itself, there's a couple things I actually quite like that set it apart from other Battle Royale games. And one of the main things is that it takes place exclusively in an urban map, which, you know, when you think of like Warzone or Fortnite, you have a little town, you have a bit of forest region or whatever and what have you. But here it takes place in a Ready Player One-esque battleground called Neo Arcadia, which is just basically Paris. Like, you drop in and Notre Dame's like right in your face, which is actually quite cool. But the main thing for me is just how important verticality and movement is, because when you're playing it, it feels a bit like an old-style Quake or Unreal Tournament, a bit of old-school FPS.
That's the vibes I was getting. I was getting very arena shooter vibes.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, straight away, like, you know, you're going to notice the double jump. You're going to see the launch pads and stuff. And as you're playing through, you're not really going to be missing the kind of environments that you usually find yourself playing Battle Royale games in, like Warzone and stuff, because everything feels quite natural as you're playing it. You're not just, you know, maintaining level on the streets. When you go on a launch pad and you're on top of these buildings, it all feels quite natural, jumping between these tall buildings. It doesn't necessarily have a parkour system, but because you have the double jump and you're able to vault easily, it all feels fairly natural as you're moving through this environment.
And more importantly, you can turn into a big bouncy ball.
Yeah, which is honestly, it's not as fun as it looks, to be fair, because it's fucking it's hectic.
That's I don't believe
very
that.
Annoying.
The first time I activated in to a ball was when I was inside Notre Dame, and it was a fucking mess. I was bouncing around
but
all
you
over
don't
the
be
place.
In a bouncy ball, in a bit.
That's disrespectful. You can't go in fucking Notre Dame and absorb. It was, stop it.
You don't see. Yeah, you ever see Quasimodo absorbing?
That's a very good. Lapsed Catholic boy. I'm furious about that.
It honestly really threw me off. But no, like you mentioned the ball, and like that's one of the hacks that inside Hyperscape, because it takes place in like a VR world, you're kind of manipulating the game within the game. So as you're playing, you'll be able to find hacks like the ball, or you'll be able to find teleport, health, armor. There's another really cool one called Wall, which essentially brings up this humongous wall in front of you, so it kind of changes the play zone if you're getting chased or you're getting attacked and stuff like that.
Is that a permanent change?
No, it's not a permanent change, so it will disappear.
Right. It's a bit like a May Ice wall from
right,
what I'd
yeah.
see. Cool.
But the weird thing is that if no one's around, you can stack those up as it refreshes, and you can get really, really high in the map, taller than any of the buildings in the frigging game if you just stack up that wall.
That's cool, I like that.
But like one of the more interesting things, I feel like, because you know, when you think of Battle Royale, usually like the ring or circle usually closes in, and like with Battlefield, it's a firestorm. With PUBG, it's like a blue force field thing. But in this game, because it takes place in a VR game, like the world around you starts to corrupt. So if you're on a vantage point on top of a building and then the ring closes in, the building starts to disappear. You'll fall to the ground and then you need to make your way through.
That's the unique thing, that it isn't a ring, isn't it? It's like there's different districts of the city and they're going to randomly start. So you don't know where you're going to have to end up.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly. And it can really mess you up, actually, if that obviously occurs. Because, you know, you might be getting attacked by another team and all of a sudden the one place that was protecting you suddenly disappears and you're surrounded by, like, three other guys shooting you up. Even if you die, though, you're still actually kind of in the fight because, and I haven't seen this in any other game, it's got a ghost system. So once you die, you still have full control of yourself, but you're able actually to run around and ping enemies. And this is the weird thing. It honestly feels quite OP and hectic because there was a time when, like, I would die and the other person who was with me would die, but Matt's still alive. And if he's getting attacked by other enemies and we're running around next to those enemies constantly pinging, the HUD can get quite messy and it ends up being hard to focus on what you're actually shooting.
So my first thought when I heard about that system was basically, A, it sounds a bit like a multiplayer take on that Quantum League thing where you keep playing afterwards. Especially with the, what, you kill people and then you can respawn at their death points or something?
Yeah. So
you can get revived at the dead bodies.
So if you're a ghost, you basically run to that death point, you press F or whatever on the controller, and then you wait till the person who's still alive comes and then revives you, but then you lose everything as well.
But my initial thought was, like, are we going to get to a situation where, like, pro-level players, one person on a team is purposely dying to become a scout and just play a support?
That's what's weird, because, you know, they mention this, but they don't really... There's no downside to it other than you having to be smart and not stand directly next to the enemy so the person who's still on your team gets confused or anything, because...
Does it not time out ever? Like,
from what I experienced, no. Like, until the entire team dies, you can be a ghost for as long as you want, as far as I remember, the circle closes. And you can constantly ping enemies as well. Yeah. So
I feel like I like the idea of that system, but I feel like...
Yeah,
I mean, we'd have to... Maybe we got this wrong, but yeah, if it was like a 30-second time limit that you could get rezzed in or something, that sounds
I mean, when it
smart,
when it happened to me, like, I was able to stay alive for like 3 minutes until, you know, Matt eventually died and then we, you know, get back to the lobby or whatever. But yeah, it was really weird because it seems really, really OP. But one of the more interesting things about it as well, like, as that circle closes, like, once it's down to the final circle, you can either kill everyone or you can pick up the crown. And like, if you pick up the crown and then you hold it for like 30 seconds, then you win the match. So if you're just playing by yourself and you don't want to take on like those two other squads that might still be roaming around in the final circle, you're able to like run through the buildings, you know, climb up top and stuff and just keep on running as you maintain that crown, which is kind of cool.
That is good that it gives you a chance, like a different method to win, because that can be like sometimes in battle royales, I know that's the nature of the game, but you could be on your own against four squads. At least that gives you a chance.
Yeah.
To just take a crown, turn into a ball and bounce around and hope for the best.
And I think that's where the movement really, you know, comes into place. Because, like, especially if you're the last guy standing, you're able to grab the crown and start, you know, like, sprinting across different buildings, duck and dive through, you know, alleyways and stuff like that. Like, it's going to help you a lot more than just if you're playing Warzone and you're the last guy and you're just, you're kind of in a field and you're a bit fucked. Because there's no environment that in Hyperscape.
Yeah, from watching bits of that game, it does look very hectic, very fast.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by it. I want to give it a go.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It'll take a lot to dethrone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Warzone and Apex, which are my two favorites. But how does the exhaust? This is from Ubisoft Montreal, who worked on Siege.
Yeah,
and the shooting in Siege, some of my favorites in any game. How does the shooting feel in Hyperscape?
Like I mentioned before, it does have that Quake and Unreal Tournament feeling, and that's not just from the movement as well. I think it also plays into how the shooting actually works out. Like for me, you can look down iron sights in here and off all the guns, but usually I just wasn't doing that because it felt like I was still able to accomplish those hits and kills without even looking at the iron sights, because it has that old school feeling to it as well. And another cool thing about the weapons too is that obviously loot system is obviously important for any kind of battle royale game, and when you're playing Hyperscape, if you actually want to get better loot, you have to maintain and hold the weapons you're holding onto. So there's one example called the Ripper Assault Rifle. So if I want to get a better version of that assault rifle, I need to have the normal version already, but then if I find another copy of that gun on the map, then it increases the magazine count and stuff. So you have about 5 tiers. Okay. So it really pays to like find those good weapons early and then hold on to them throughout the match. Because if you're in that final zone and you might have like a really upgraded sniper rifle, and all of a sudden you need to pick up like a shotgun or something, it's just going to be the base level shotgun. So you're going to be at a disadvantage.
Okay. I like the sound. I appreciate that they're doing a few things differently. Yeah. It's not just a copy and paste job. They're changing the fundamentals of battle royales in ways, whether it's the ring or the mobility or just the mad abilities that you don't normally find in a game.
I know Matt wasn't super impressed by that weapon upgrade thing because it doesn't let you change styles, but I almost kind of appreciate the idea of like you're almost like half choosing a class by finding stuff early and sticking with it and kind of adjusting your playstyle as a result. I wonder if I wonder if that will become part of the meta where people are like, I'm going to stick with a shotgun to get this by the end, because that's always going to be useful in the final zone or whatever.
Yeah, like, and it works the same for the hacks as well, because you can actually upgrade the hacks if you keep the same one. So if you keep ball from the start, you can get a better ball by the end of it, I guess.
Wow, what's a better ball? Is it last? Honestly, does it bounce higher?
Added time multi.
Tell me about the balls.
I didn't want to spend too much time with the balls, so I kind of swapped them out immediately.
Fair. Why not?
I'd be all over him. This may be a bit of a negative connotation, but it reminded me in weird ways of Lawbreakers, which
in what
didn't
way
necessarily do well. All the jump pads, it looked arcadey, similar sort of art style. I thought
it looks like Brink as well, which is another negative, but not meant.
I like the art style though, because it's kind of. It's got a little bit of that Fortnite-y cartoon, like Overwatchiness, but it looks a lot more realistic also. It's that weird in-between. Mm. I like it. I want to give it a go. Who knows when I'll be able to play that, but it is coming to PS4, which I'm thankful for, because I thought it was PC only.
Coming to Xbox as well.
Grow up, Valorant. I know we... I mean, I say that as if I would ever play it anyway. The one thing I want to ask Cardi that's not on the running order, because obviously we play a lot of Warzone. I'd love to get your feeling on the latest Warzone changes on the record.
Oh, do you want my official? I've
Wait, so what are the latest Warzone changes? Because I haven't played it for ages.
So Quads is now 200 players, so it's 50 teams.
Oh my
god, it used to be 150.
Yeah,
so it's even harder to win.
How does the PS4 handle that? Or just like any?
I'll tell you how it handles it by adding a 30 gigabyte update again.
Jesus Christ,
that fucking
that
insane.
Game now takes up 146 gigabytes on my PlayStation.
Imagine the 4K version on PS5. It's gonna.
It's a disgrace. Learn how to fucking compress, boys.
But it doesn't fundamentally change that mode, adding 50 players. It just means it's harder to win because there's more people.
Yeah.
The new sniper rifle, which you have to do a bit to unlock, is it the Crytek or the Cryek?
Probably not the Crytek, given that it's a competitive thing. Actually called the Crytek?
Let me check.
It's like having an achievement called a Medal of Honor or something. Like, you can't really get away
with it. It's not called the Crytek. It's something very similar.
Oh, well.
Fair enough.
I'm finding it.
Are we researching Crytek?
Wait, so is this a weapon you have to unlock in Warzone? I thought you just find these weapons in the map.
You can find a blueprint on the map, but you can also... So Warzone's all about getting your loadout, your weapons.
See, I haven't played it in a while.
Can someone just tell me? It's a Rytec. Just take the C off. Take the C off the front, and that's what it goes to. Rytec AMR. It's similar to the Barrett 50 cal, which was a personal favourite of mine in early Modern Warfare games. But apparently, it's not. I haven't used it yet. Apparently, it's not overly useful in Warzone unless you use. So the good thing about it, if you level it up, you can unlock explosive rounds, which are basically one shot to the chest. It will down someone.
Right,
but it's very hard to use, apparently. Like, the drop-off on it is insane. So it's a very hard sniper to use. I'm sticking to my HDR for now. But a fun thing happened last night, because for this week only, until the 7th, they've added Juggernaut trios. So I got to shout, I'm the Juggernaut, which basically at the start of the map, they drop three suits of Juggernaut armor in random spots.
Great.
And luckily, I managed to grab hold of one. And basically, if you've used the Juggernaut in Modern Warfare before, you know what you're having. It's a massive suit of armor with... You can get killed, but it takes a whole squad aiming you for a good few seconds to take you down.
It's not as overpowered as the Spec Ops version when we went up against that guy.
That's insane. No, it doesn't take literally 500 RPG rockets to take him down. But... yeah, that was fun. And when you're in the Juggernaut suit, it plays like Doom-like metal.
It's so weird. Even if you're spectating, obviously the start of those matches, especially right now, is dozens of people landing in one spot and having a big fight. So when we landed last night, I killed like five people with a pistol, which felt amazing, and then obviously got taken down.
Right.
But Cardi, whilst that melee was going on, went and got his Juggernaut. I died in the gulag, and then just had this moment of like, because often when you die, I'm just like, I'll go and grab a drink or whatever. Yeah. And suddenly in my headphones, it was just like, da, 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 da. What the fuck is going on?
I just walked around, destroyed an ATV, I think, with my minigun. Got like 6 kills, but then eventually got taken down. Just because the thing about being a Juggernaut is you're very slow. It's not like Vinnie Jones's Juggernaut where you can sprint through walls. You're just kind of hopping along, getting shot. It's fun. It's obviously a gimmicky little mode for a week. It's not going to hang around, but it's a fun. I appreciate that they do these additions in Warzone. Like, for a game I think we talked about before that takes a lot of it so seriously, like all the gun descriptions and all the loadout stuff like that. They're also not afraid to just add mad stuff like that. And I'd appreciate it, though. And they did it this time. They just left normal trios instead. Don't take out the modes people want to play temporarily for modes that you don't want to play.
It's taken them, how many months to make it so that one button is, in fact, a second menu selection of the things you normally play, instead of just having four spots on the menu for just completely arbitrary reasons, and being like, oh well, if we do want to add this shit realism mode, we'll have to take out the things people want to do in our game.
Brilliant.
So congratulations, they've worked it out.
In becoming a Juggernaut, I don't think I'll be playing it again, but you've got until the 7th of July, I believe, so if you're listening to this today, four more days. But I'm not going to stop playing Warzone anytime soon because I'm addicted.
It is good. I find it weirdly relaxing for a very stressful game.
It is. I just got unleashed sometimes, don't you?
It's just good, isn't it?
You say that too much.
Did you...
Here we go. Here comes the segue.
I was going to do one, but I realised what you said. It's like, you do that too much. I don't think I do. That's my problem. I don't unleash too much.
Could see the cogs working in his head for the segue.
There's not one coming. Joe.
Yes.
Fuser.
Yes. Oh, fucking hell, I love Fuser so much. So we have a preview of it. What?
What is it?
Let me tell you. You may remember, 2 to 3 years ago, we got slightly obsessed with the Harmonix board game called Drop Mix, which was a game about mashing up various stems of music by using cards. And it was basically, I think, one of the most magical board games I've ever played. I'm super into A, Harmonix games, B, I'm one of those boring people who loves mashups. Like, it wasn't me, so let it be.
The Shaggy and Beatles mashup, very good. All the rest.
All the others.
Yeah, and basically, that's the one I like. And basically, this is Drop Mix in video game form. And
right.
I've played a preview build, and I think it's fucking astonishing. For a preview build, I've put in at least 6 to 8 hours. And there's only two levels to do on it. So it's basically, to explain, you are meant to be playing a DJ at a festival. It's a very silly festival, so you can kind of build. My guy is like a really old man in crazy shiny clothes. And you can build, like, the stage sets are set, but your show, like, your lighting types, your visualizers, all that stuff is customized, and you can unlock those things as you play. So there's all this kind of, like, big visual element. Imagine the Guitar Hero performances, but more DJ-y, more Coachella-y. And then...
It's nothing like DJ Hero, though.
No, so this is the problem. People kind of have immediately taken it to be a DJ Hero rhythm action game, when, in fact, it is just virtual Drop Mix. So you get... you build a deck of songs, and instead of Drop Mixes, each card is one piece of one song. So, like, the bass line from a Jackson 5 song. You now have all four stems for songs. So that's usually drum beat, rhythm guitar, lead guitar, and vocals. But it can vary depending on the song type. And you can drop those various stems in, and they automatically mash up. So they match tempo, they match... pitch, they match in timing, and so all of that stuff is basically what Drop Mix was. But where this goes further, where Drop Mix was essentially a card game where the result was cool songs, this is a game actually about being forced to play the songs correctly. So as you play, you're rated on your timing of drops, so you have like a little meter that shows you which the downbeats are, and it will also show you good moments. So say it's a vocal line, there will be markers on the thing that say this is a bit between verse and chorus, or this is a bit where the vocals change into a different style, or it's a different like if it's a fucking like a hip-hop track, this is where the two different verses from two different rappers come in. And you'll get bonus points for that. But then you, as you play through these sets, you'll be given up to 5 challenges at once that that time down. So it's like, during this next 10 seconds, you know, it's usually longer, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You have to put down a drum beat, a vocal track, a song from the 80s, like, and it, you know, like, it categorizes things in lots of different ways. Or in this, they also have like improvised instruments, so you can get like synths and drum beat loops, and you actually on the fly record those loops and drop them in as tracks.
Okay. So is it more about management? It's not like you're playing, like, you're hitting simulated notes to build up a gauge or something, right?
So you are, so you're building up a gauge, but it's the gauge's crowd reaction to your stuff, whether that's through challenges. There's also a whole separate thing for crowd requests. So some people will be like, I want this song, or I want this kind of song, and you have to play that really quickly. And sometimes you'll get two at once, and you could satisfy both of those at once, and you get a bonus for doing two in one drop, that kind of thing.
Right, okay.
I am massively in.
So it's like, it, and... there's only two levels, and so there's one, like, basically base tutorial level, and then there's a second level that's halfway up, maybe a third of the way through the game. And even that third of the way through the game one is, like, quite stressful. So by the end, when you're getting 5 challenges, 3 requests, like, every 30 seconds, it's going to be absolute pandemonium, which I'm kind of into.
Is that difficulty options in the preview, or is it just...
The difficulty options seem to be just where you're playing. What I've noticed, I don't think you can fail like Guitar Hero. I don't think it will ever stop you playing your set. You could get 0 stars out of 5, but I don't think it will ever be like, you're shit, the crowd are booing you. Because I think it wants you ultimately to just be able to make your songs.
Maybe you're just too good.
I am very good, although I've still not got 5-star. It is hard to get 5 stars, and like even the community manager who demoed it for me before I got the build wasn't getting 5 stars. So I think the point is, like, it is a challenge to get that stuff, and you need to be going above and beyond the challenges you're being given. It's like swapping constantly. Where I've spent most of my time is freestyle mode, because I just love building those tracks. But compared to the stuff in the campaign that we've been shown, and I'm sure this won't be the case by the end of it, there are even more options. So they have this fucking amazing thing where you can build your track, and then you can build a set of cued tracks underneath it, and you can either swap between them live and like do a wholesale swap, or you can swap between certain elements. So you can be like, I'm playing drums and guitars from these three songs, but then I've got these two vocal tracks and I can swap between them live. So I found like a load of really funny ways to do, like, my favorite one so far is going from I Want to Dance with Somebody into the Somebody Once Told Me from All Star. And like,
that's great.
You can really start messing with this stuff. It also does like isolating, so you can get like, you know, when a DJ will drop everything but the vocal mix so that everyone can sing along or something like that. You can do that.
Can you save these mixes?
You can save the mixes. You can share the mixes. Obviously, that's in wicked. The build I've got, you can't do it right now, but they have the main menu literally has a whole section that just shows you fake versions of what will be there. So it's like, this is this person's mix. So you're going to get featured mixes fed to you. And then the thing that I think is like truly the step up from Dropmix. In Dropmix, you have these cards called risers, which are special cards. Like, there was Down With The Sickness is the most famous one, because every time you put it down, it changes the whole mix, and you just get before it starts. But then you got like fucking G.I. Joe, Transformers, and they always have this moment that they'll not only fuck with the whole mix and reconfigure it around it, but they will have these riser moments where it's just like riser moments where I love it.
Oh god!
Where you'll get this drop and it just feels super satisfying, and it feels like you are being good at being a DJ. And what they've done with Dropmix, what they've done with Fuser is they've isolated those moments in literally every single track in the entire game, and you can now use either. There are three different riser types that you can use at any time. It's mad. So you could do like a steady riser, which reconfigures everything around the tracks you've got in a queue, but it keeps the tempo and the pitch so that you can keep it going. Mm-hmm. But they've also got one other that I can't remember. And then the best one is smart riser, which basically takes all four queued tracks, finds the riser moment, changes the pitch, changes the tempo, and like reconfigures the entire thing, not just around one of those tracks, but all of them. And it's like one of the most satisfying game mechanics I've come across in years, where I've just sat there for hours being like, I bet I can find a cooler one of these, and just mixing it all up and finding different vibes. And like, fuck me, it's so good. Like, I think Fuse is going to be a good game, but I'm going to be using it as way more of like just a chilling out, like musical tool. And I think that's what Harmonix wants. I think they feel like this is more of a music project than it is a game project.
Is this the dreams of music?
Well, like, it's
that's
not.
That's a bit of a silly, yeah.
But
I know.
It is a. But it has that same appeal. It has that feeling of like you can just. It feels like you can just mess around endlessly with this thing, and it's going to launch with 100 tracks. And then the way they build it to me is that they're looking to Rock Band as the inspiration. So it's not Dropmix where you're getting packs of cards. It feels like what they're going to do is just microtransactions for the stuff you want, and then they'll probably build collections and things like that. And honestly, if it's just essentially paying for music I like, I'm fine with that. Like, if I'm getting to make music, I don't mind paying 79p for fucking, I don't know,
the
theme from Rush Hour 2. I don't know why that's the one thing in my head.
That's what everyone wants at a DJ set. Do you know if there's any multiplayer?
Not that I'm aware of. There's a load of grayed out things on the main menu, and now you've made me wonder. But I don't think there is. I think it's all single player. But the sharing aspect is more the multiplayer element. I don't think there's any fighting against anyone.
I'd love that, just like if there was online like Battle of the DJs, like that Scott Pilgrim. Style
yeah.
Or
are you just playing it with a controller? Because I'm trying to think of like how
I'm playing
it
on
itself.
PC. Okay. There are controller options, and I haven't tried it with them. I do wonder how much harder it will be with a controller, because so much of it's like fine-tuning, extremely well-timed button presses. Like, dropping tracks looks very easy because they're mapped to each of the face buttons.
Yeah.
But stuff like risers and the tiny little buttons you're pressing to like do individual tracks and that kind of stuff, I don't know how that's going to map.
So
also,
what,
Carly,
doing,
I've told
you...
Sorry.
Are you doing like micro adjustments with your mouse?
You're doing tiny. You're messing about with it. There's sliders and stuff like that to mess with. So I can see that being quite complicated on a controller. But Cardi, I've told you previously it's not coming out on Switch, but it is. I was absolutely wrong. So,
oh, wow.
The idea of it of this as a portable product is very exciting to me.
I did not expect that on
but Switch. Honestly, like, we talked about this when Dropmix came out. I'd love to do, like, a night where you just take this to a bar somewhere when bars are allowed again.
Oh, do you remember those?
Yeah. And, like, you could do some get some proper good players. But then essentially you could just open up Fuser as anyone in the bar can DJ for a while. And like ultimately it will almost never sound bad because that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I think it's fucking amazing. I love it. I can't wait for it.
I'm well into it.
It's out
if
in
you
autumn.
Offered me the chance to play that now, Joe, I wouldn't be a refuser.
Very good. Okay.
I made myself laugh. And you know what? That's all I want.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Should we do an episode?
Go on then. Inside is the UK IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search? Joe.
Hello.
Quiz me. Yeah. Boys, I've got an old classic that I thought we hadn't revisited, or I haven't listened to the episodes I'm not on enough to know that we haven't revisited it recently. Go on, name them. Because...
Oh, yeah, we haven't done it in a while.
And also, Cardi always sets them. I'd love to see Cardi play it a little bit.
Ooh.
I've gone for a games focus. Yeah, I don't know. I just picked some stuff I thought was interesting.
Do it.
Let's start. Oh, yeah, we've got to explain what it is. Go on, name 'em is based on a Nick Knowles game show and stolen somewhat from the Football Ramble. It is a game in which categories are presented with a set number of answers, and both players will bid for how many of those answers they can indeed answer. If they get any of those answers wrong, they immediately lose.
Oh,
and the point is that when one person... does not want to beat the last bid, they have to say, go on, name them. And then the other person does just
hence
that.
The name.
It's much clearer than I've made that sound.
I believe this was the first ever Endless Search game.
Yeah, I think it was.
One for the history.
I don't think I've ever won a match of this.
Well, so I know that...
I don't know if I've ever played.
I know that games is more... Games is more your area, Jesse. You've been winning on games ones recently, so I thought we'd go for games.
One. But thank you.
Smash me on the trophy one.
Yeah. So let's have a go at this. We'll start relatively easy, I think, for both of you.
Okay.
There are eight different types of starfighter included in the new Star Wars Squadrons. Four Empire, four... what are they called? New Republic.
Yeah, New Republic.
So... actually, let's do... we've got to do... Yeah, because there's a couple of little weird ones in there, innit? I'm going to do a... I'm going to flip my phone.
All right.
Okay.
Cardi, do you want phone front or phone back to
I
go
want
first?
Phone back, please.
Phone back. It is phone back. Cardi goes first, or bids first.
I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with six.
Six. Jesse, can you beat six? I'm going to be quite fascistic about the names, by the way, because you should be getting them right.
Yeah, seven. I can do seven.
Seven?
I'm not doing all eight.
Okay.
There's definitely one I can't remember.
Go on,
so
name
go on,
them, Jesse.
Go on, name them.
X-Wing.
Correct.
A-Wing.
Correct.
U-Wing.
Correct.
Y-Wing.
Correct.
TIE Fighter.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
TIE Bomber.
Yeah.
One how more. Many? How many is that?
That's six out of seven.
That's six.
Wait, how much time do I have?
We'll give you a little bit. I'm enjoying watching your struggle.
It's annoying. I was checking this out the other day.
I knew you would have been.
TIE Reaper.
TIE Reaper is the one I thought was really
Reaper.
Hard, and it's correct.
Yeah,
that was,
I would
that's
never
the,
have
that's
got
the,
Reaper.
The support ship, and people shitted on that.
I would do. So. Yeah. See, I knew Interceptor. I didn't know
TIE
Reaper.
Interceptor was the final one.
Oh, I'm sweating. All right, well,
big point for Jesse. Smash. Love it. All right. Let's get a little bit harder. Let's go for... And Jesse bids first on this one. The top 10 selling Switch games by Nintendo. As in, they are Nintendo-published or developed games, not any third parties. This is according to Nintendo's own internal figures.
Wait, and how many are there?
There are global.
10.
Do you know if this is global or US?
This is global.
Okay. I don't know if some count as two or
one. I will say... Pokemon games are included as one figure for both versions.
Okay.
Okay. And you said 10, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to go for a solid 7.
Whoa, big. Whoa. I like it.
I'll go 8.
Aggressive play today. I love it.
I'm not letting you have 7.
I have to go 9. I have to.
Go on, name them.
All right, 9 it is.
I thought I'd got it wrong.
Wait, they don't have to be in like any particular order. Like it's just
no. Okay. It's just the top 10 in any order.
That'd be impossible. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Correct.
Super Mario Odyssey.
Correct.
Splatoon 2.
Splatoon 2's on there. Good shout.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yep. Biggest seller.
Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Correct.
I have my Switch right here, but it's not on.
Good.
Better not be.
Obviously, Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Animal Crossing is on there. Newest edition.
What the fuck have I already said?
I'm just going to mark these.
Three more?
I don't know if I've already said this. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild?
You have not said that.
Okay. How many are left?
You've said 7. You've got to guess 2 more. There are 3 more to guess.
This is where it gets tough.
Super Mario Party.
That is a fantastic shout.
Yeah.
I need 2 more, right?
You need 1 more, but there are 2 to guess from.
fuck. There's too many and I don't know which one. I really should write down which ones I've got.
Okay, I'll read out what you've got, and I'll give you essentially that much time again. Right.
All right.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Zelda Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, Pokemon Sword and Shield, Animal Crossing New Horizons, Splatoon 2, and Super Mario Party. There are 2 more to guess from.
Oh, I'm trying to think what I'd go for.
One is the lowest seller, and one is the 6th seller.
There's a couple.
Would it be... Yeah. Wait, fuck. Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and stuff like
Correct.
That?
Correct. Yeah. That's 9. Can you guess what the final one is?
Is it Fire Emblem?
No, it isn't.
1-2 Switch? Because that came free, right?
New Super Mario Bros. Deluxe.
Wasn't that the... Is that the Wii U one?
That's the Wii U one that they updated.
Airplay getting 9.
That is powerful.
I thought there'd be 1 or 2 more.
I thought ARMS would be it or something like that.
Yeah. No, ARMS did not get there.
Shit.
To be fair, ARMS, I think, has sold more than 1 million. But that's... I think Super Mario Bros. Deluxe was the lowest seller, and that's at 6 million, maybe?
Did 1-2 Switch come with... Hi, Cardi.
Cardi's gone mad.
Did 1-2 Switch come with the Switch during release? No. Oh, right. I thought it was like a Wii Sports kind of scenario.
No. So good not shouting that. Okay. I'm loving this. Jesse, you could win this.
It's bold.
On the next round. There are 5 rounds, I should say.
Okay.
Cardi, you're guessing, or you're bidding first. Of the 13 third-party Xbox Series X games announced in their May Inside Xbox event, how many would you like to bid for?
Fucking done for this.
Third-party.
You know they did the Inside Xbox event?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which was from which conference.
That conference was so intense. Can't remember any of them.
Third.
I just keep thinking of the PS5 event, like a schmuck.
Yeah. So am I. I can't think of which were which.
I nearly did that, but there were 26 and I couldn't be asked writing them out.
Xbox ones. 3?
3!
Name them.
I just can't remember the names.
I should make clear, 13 third-party Xbox Series X games included in the presentation, not announced at it. Some were previously announced, but were shown in the conference. Just okay. So that's clear.
Madden?
Madden, which one?
21.
Yeah, good.
Hey,
you two, come on.
It's all been a blur. Exactly. Like, the Xbox ones are...
To be fair, this is coming from me, who's had to write literally every single news story about every single game.
Yeah. What else
would you
have?
Remember these, Joe?
I would.
Since that was at PlayStation or at
Xbox. I'd be able to give a very good account of myself on this one.
Okay.
Actually, I could probably get half. Anyway, what?
What's the name of that one?
How can you not get more than one?
I'm going completely blank on the spot here.
He said three, right?
Oh, no, Schmidt. Mortal Shell?
Incorrect. That was part of Summer of Gaming, baby.
Oh. No, I was thinking of the, what's the Geiger one?
Oh,
Oh, yeah,
I know what that is. So, can I say three?
You can't steal. I mean, you get the point anyway, so it doesn't matter, but... If you want to just guess some, go for it.
I should have got... What was the name of the first one they showed? The shooter by the one-man team?
Bright Memory Infinite.
No, terrible name. Shouldn't have remembered that. I remember they were all grim. I was just thinking in my head.
Do you want me to go?
Oh, what?
It's called Scorn.
Is that place?
Scorn was the one. Scorn was the Giga game.
They showed Valhalla, didn't they?
They did show
Valhalla.
Because
that was the only good thing. But it wasn't the gameplay, though, was it? It was just that.
Well, it's the one where they said they were showing gameplay, but it was a gameplay trailer, like an engine.
That was fun.
That's all
I can remember.
Yakuza Like a Dragon, The Medium by Bloober Team, which I'm very excited about.
Bloober.
The Ascent, which is the sci-fi Diablo. Dirt 5.
Do you know what I'm remembering here? I haven't remembered a lot of these because almost none of these games interest me.
Chorus, the sci-fi game from Deep Silver about a talking spaceship. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, which had that crazy Happy Few-style trailer. Call of the Sea, which looks lovely. Scarlet Nexus, which actually looks way better than I thought it did. It's a game about throwing trains at people. And Second Extinction, the game about shooting mutant dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
There's only about two of those games that... I thought looked.
I thought that was a lot easier than it was. Jesse has officially won this week's.
Still save face.
But yeah, we've got two more sections if you'd like to do them. Do you want slightly easier or much harder one?
Cardi, it's your call.
Well, there's two more anyway.
Yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah. Which one do you want first?
Let's go easy.
Go easy first. All right, Jesse to bid first on the 25 launch games for the PS4.
Four.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
There is some bonkers shit in here that you will not remember.
It's going to be some shit.
There is some rubbish.
Wait, so how many did you say?
There are 25 to choose from.
That's too many. One of them is...
Yeah, don't guess 25.
I don't remember there being that many.
So this includes like indie games, digital stuff. Like, this is everything you could buy on the day.
Okay.
Obviously, some cross-gen stuff, you know.
I am you'd expect. Going to go four.
Four?
Yes.
Four.
Cardi, any advance on four?
Yeah, I'll go eight.
Eight?
Oh, all right.
Big jump. Jesse?
Go on, name them.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh. Here we go. So, Resogun.
Resogun is there. Lovely game, that.
Black Flag?
Black Flag is there. You keep looking to your right like you've got a screen you're looking at.
I'm not cheating at go on name.
Which one?
Killzone Shadowfall.
Correct.
Knack was launched.
Knack was launched.
That's not what I really wanted to say.
That's four of eight.
Schmidt, what year would it have been?
I know, this is the thing.
FIFA? 14.
FIFA 14. Fair play, man. I would not have guessed that.
Right, what else was launch? What was like cross? Watch Dogs?
Incorrect. Jesse gets the point. Watch Dogs was not there.
Was that later?
It was.
I had it in my head that that was across PS3, PS4.
It was, but I think it came out later and then came out on...
I remember Ghosts was one of them.
Ghosts was one of them.
Oh.
Because it had that shit
Battlefield
PS3. 4? Yeah, that
Battlefield was. 4 was there. I was hoping that you'd go for Madden, one. Because that year it was called Madden NFL 25, yeah. Not 14.
What was it called? 25?
I remember, I didn't know what year, but yeah, I remember they did that one year, because it was the 25th
one.
Right,
okay.
Obviously there was sense. Two NBA games that year, NBA 2K14 and NBA Live 14, which is mad.
What's the difference?
Angry Birds Star Wars, obviously. Blacklight Retribution.
Oh, that'd be a Just Dance game, wouldn't there?
There was, Just Dance 2014. Contrast, if you remember that.
I remember
DC that. Universe Online. Flower. Injustice, which I didn't realise was there. Lego Marvel Superheroes, the best Lego. Best Lego.
was Sound Shapes
was a day one title.
Yes.
Sound Shapes was great.
I've lost it now anyway.
Need for Speed Rivals.
I'm just going to look up when Watch Dogs came out on
PC. 2014. I looked it up. Playroom.
Sorry, I didn't listen to you.
Skylanders Swap Force. Super Motherload. Trine 2. And, I did not realise this, Warframe. I didn't realise Warframe was day one on PS4.
Yeah. Been there,
yes.
Forever,
oh, I always thought that was cool. Like, oh no, it would have been.
That was the easier one.
Yeah, that was the easier of the two. Enjoy, okay, no. Enjoy this one. 18 Xbox 360 launch games.
Oh, gee, I didn't even own a 360.
I can do.
I bet I can guess the one you're going to get right.
I can do 3.
I can do 4.
Okay.
I can...
Says very confidently, not knowing if I can.
Cry. you said 4, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'll do 5.
Okay.
6.
6. Cardi does not want
to
clean sweep.
All right, go on, name
sweep.
Them then.
Oh, no. Right, FIFA 14.
Well, for Xbox 360...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're already
sorry, I was thinking
it.
Of 1.
look, sorry. If you've misunderstood the category...
I had an absolute mind brain freeze. It would have been FIFA 08.
Wrong, FIFA 06.
It wasn't... What?
Yeah.
Oh, it was much before.
Well, he's already lost. Jesse's wins 5-0.
I just didn't want to give it
absolute
away.
Absolute
smash. Blazing.
The ones I was going to say was Call
going.
Of Duty 2, Gun,
yep.
And then Peter Jackson's King Kong. The official
Correct.
Video,
yeah,
the official game of the movie.
Yeah. The one I thought you were going to go for, because it is a banger, and it seems like a very Jesse game, is Condemned Criminal Origins, which I thought was great.
I only ever played the second game, not the first one.
The first one's wicked. That, the second one had that you, mad just...
what?
multiplayer mode where you could hide in stuff and kill people. It was great. There was Amped 3. FIFA Sorry. That year was called FIFA Soccer 06 Road to 2006 FIFA World Cup.
What?
That was
a separate one, wasn't it?
I think there might be two there. I can't remember. They were listed as one. Yeah. Cameo Elements of Power.
Oh, yes.
Madden NFL 06, NBA 2K6, NBA Live 06, Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Perfect
NHL
Dark as well.
2K6, Perfect Dark Zero, which I thought you'd get.
Oh, Zero, that's it.
Project Gotham Racing 3, Quake 4. Ridge Racer 6. I miss Ridge Racer.
Ridge Racer.
Tiger Woods 06 and Tony Hawk's American Wasteland.
So many sport
American
games,
Wasteland,
man.
Yeah, that was not a good launch.
That wasn't a grid. No, that was not. Probably why I didn't get
big,
one.
Big, big win for Jesse. Absolute smash on the go on, name him.
As ever, send in your quizzes.
Yes, please.
To IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. For now, we will read some feedback. First, though, say thank you for everyone sending in their Last of Us feedback. Mm. Currently, all of us have finished the game apart from Matt. So we will have a big old another Last of Us chat at the end of a podcast in the next couple of weeks. But I think we'll wait till we get a couple of people that aren't me, Joe, and Dale to talk about it, because we've talked about it a lot.
Yes, indeed.
So thank you. Keep sending your Last of Us thoughts, because there are many. Who has
me?
Joe has the first.
Two,
first
I've got two short food ones.
Yes.
This from Andy. Hi, guys. I was listening to one of your episodes recently where you discussed weird food combos. That could have been 300
Every
recent
episode.
This reminded me about the fact my wife said when she was young her family would eat chicken and mushroom pot noodles and dunk peanut butter sandwiches into it. She claims it would taste like satay. I think she's a fucking maniac. What do you think?
I mean, why not give it a go?
I would actually try that. Satay is amazing.
Mm.
But to me, no, that sounds... I wouldn't
try everything that. Once when I it comes to yeah. food.
I just don't like pot noodle.
Yeah, I'm not a huge pot noodle guy, but I think... I almost wonder whether if you dropped peanut butter into a chicken and mushroom pot noodle, it would mix it, like, smooth. It would mix in real nice. Okay. I bet that could be tasty.
Yeah.
What if it just becomes, like, blobby?
Yeah, I feel like I don't want the soggy sandwich. That's like it. The bread in pot noodle juice.
Wet bread was ruined for me by comedian John Richardson, who just described once how sick it makes him feel to think of wet bread. And it's just... I don't even feel those feelings. It's just knowing how sick it makes him makes me feel sick.
It's not a nice...
Delicious.
Not a nice thing. Did you ever do that thing, like, when you were young at school, like, you drink, like, your carton of juice spilt over your sandwich in your lunchbox?
Oh.
I had that once or twice. No. Hot, it ruins your day.
That sounds real bad.
Okay. No one wants orange juice bread.
No. I've got one sharp. This is from Elliot, who's in Melbourne, Australia. One of the best places in the world. Folks, compliments on the show, firstly.
Thank you.
Secondly, right, and I looked this up in the week, so I don't have a final answer on it, technically. It says, secondly, the Maxibon is Australia's greatest cultural contribution to the world.
What's a Maxibon?
One half is a choc ice and one half is a cookie sandwich. Presumably you get these in the UK now, but I want to fight their case either way.
We do.
I've seen those in shops.
Maxibon, as an Australian invention, is not something I've heard of before. They are made by a European distributor based in the UK.
Lies.
I'm not claiming lies. I'm just interested. I think it could be an Australian invention that was then bought by a European distributor.
Surely there's like a UK
I do
variant.
Agree that...
The Maxibon is my favourite ice cream.
Elite. It could be
but
mine.
But you see it very rarely in the UK. And it is the hallmark of a European summer holiday. I love a Maxibon so much. If you haven't had one,
Calypso balls, they're great.
Oh, Calypso balls are good. Oh, no. But that's a different element. You're going for a different type of meal.
I know.
Calypso balls are basically a delayed juice.
That's true.
Delayed juice. That's like I love a Calypso.
Yeah. What are you looking at? Are you looking for the maker?
I'm just looking up the
this
Maxibon.
Is it. I search for Maxibon inventor.
It's very inconclusive.
It doesn't say. How is the inventor of Maxibon not got a statue?
I do like that in European cities such as Madrid, they can be purchased from Maxibon zone stands.
Yeah.
So they have their own stands.
So good, man. Like, to be fair, there can't be many ice creams so good that they deserve their own like dedicated stands.
Do you agree you've got to hold it by the sandwich end and eat the
100%.
Choc ice set 100%.
First? Yeah. You got it. The choc ice is like starter, but the cookie's main.
You'd have to be fucked in the head to do it the other way. Good.
And dessert is buying another Maxibon. God, they're good. Well done, Elliot, for reminding me of Maxibons.
Yes. I want an ice cream.
The closest to me is, like, they do Oreo sandwiches now, which are, like, all right, but they're not as good. But I might buy one at lunch now.
Just put ice cream within two cookies and you're a genius.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of it.
There we go. Just do it. I've never done it, but now I want to do it. Just get like two Sainsbury's cookies and just put ice cream
in. That was my initial thought. As soon as you said that, I was like, those soft Sainsbury's cookies, they're so fucking good. Come on, Carly.
Good God. Anyway, got a piece of feedback here from Barnaby Rowe. He says, hi guys, I'm a big fan of the show. It's always the highlight of my Fridays, and all of you are fantastic, except Joe. Mm-hmm. Joe is exceedingly average.
Correct.
But if we're all fantastic, then the average would be fantastic. So I think you're fantastic.
Oh, interesting. You think by process of median, I am also fantastic. Okay, great.
That being said, Joe, I need your help. The other week, I found myself on the more pissed end of the drunk spectrum, switch in hand and listening to one of your older episodes. I was sat there for half...
I know we've talked about this before, but I don't understand why anyone listens to older episodes of this podcast.
Maybe they're just catching up.
So up to the minute.
Yeah.
Imagine listening to...
Like we started it with a news report.
Imagine listening to weeks-old food combos. How stupid you'd feel. Anyway, carry on.
There's got to be some gold back there. I was sat there for half an hour staring at the home screen of my Switch, at a complete loss as to which game I wanted to play. Nothing I owned seemed appealing, and the charts were lacking inspiration. Then suddenly, as if by fate, Joe's voice came through on my headphones, talking about this new game he was playing, Fire Emblem Three Houses. Joe's words of endorsement were too persuasive for my alcohol-addled mind, and within moments I was handing over £50 for a game I'd never heard of. It's been a couple of weeks since, and I've loaded the game a few times. I think I've made a mistake. Joe, I need your help. What is this game? What was the opening cutscene? What difference does a ghost, demon, or mortal make? What am I supposed to be doing? What have I done?
Barnaby. Unfortunately, I think you were listening to the episode where I'd done a preview of the game that seemed wicked. And then later when we all finished it, we realised none of us liked it that much.
I think we all agreed it's very good.
It's the second half. It's not very good.
It's not amazing. Yeah.
So, there's to answer in these sections. Joe, what is this game? It is a tactical RPG set around a fictional cool school of fighting boys and girls, and it has elements of Persona, but it is mostly about battering people on a grid like cool chess. What was the opening cutscene? If I remember correctly, it's a big battle between like a crazy king and like a cool whip lady. She's like a special special cardinal woman. And that is in the past. What difference does a ghost, demon, or mortal make? I don't even have a fucking clue what that's about.
I can't remember what that was.
What am I supposed to be doing? You are supposed to be training and befriending your various students and making them better at battling without having them die on the battlefield, which is sad. What have you done? You've bought an 8 out of 10 game, mate. Don't worry about it. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, it's quite a good shout.
It's not like like an action game. If it's not your thing, then that is a worry. But I can't really help it if you're listening to previous games pissed and buy them. Sorry.
If it makes you feel any better, like £50 will be what you always pay for that game, because it will never be on
sale.
Very
true.
So it's not, you know.
But yeah, I would say if you get into the vibe of it, you've got like at least 25 hours of very good game, and then about 15 more of fine.
Jesus.
There we go.
A lot of game.
Enjoy it.
I've got some feedback from Daniel Roberts. He says, "Hello again, my beloved IGN crew, including Joe. I'm sorry, but I care about you as well."
This is what I like. I like this one.
Good. "I hope you're all well as lockdown starts to wind down. I wanted to ask you all, with what has already been 6 months into the year, I was wondering if any of you have been reading anything good recently. I'm reading We Are Legion, We Are Bob, which has been fantastic so far. Hope this finds you well." Well, to answer your question, I've actually got a new Kindle Paperwhite arriving in a couple of hours. And I'm reading, just to bring the tone well down, a book called Stalingrad by Anthony Beevor. And it's obviously about the Battle of Stalingrad and goes into a detailed account of both sides.
That's the one in Peep Show.
Is
it? That's the one he's reading in Peep Show.
Really?
Isn't it? Isn't he talking about Beevor?
Stalingrad.
It does. Peep Show. I'm pretty sure that's the one he's reading.
I'd go right over my head.
Oh, that's... Yeah, because it's in the first series. It's like, the Red Army shot 16,000 of their old men at Stalingrad as a chat-up line.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking hell, that's so good.
But I haven't actually been reading much recently, but I was talking to someone last night about books and just following on. If you're in The Last of Us mood, then if you haven't read The Road, read The Road.
Oh, God, it's so good.
That is
best ever description of blood coming out of someone's neck in that book.
Well,
anyway,
yeah.
I think we've talked about it before, I think, but also just general, I love Cormac McCarthy, so Blood Meridian is also, I think, fantastic. Bit more love it or hate it, that one. I know some people just don't get on with it, but I love it. And also Child of God by him, which is extra grim if you want a story set in 60s Appalachia about a young boy and a serial killer in the woods.
No thanks. I love Cormac McCarthy. I'm very, very bad at reading these days. After my English degree, I decided, you know what, fuck
gonna
it
retire.
But I have really been enjoying a series of memoirs in audiobook form recently. Audiobooks for people doing their own readings of their own books, I think, are always the preferred medium. Louis Theroux's Got to Get Through This was very good, although Louis Theroux is so self-deprecating that you wonder if he's actually telling what the real story of what happened to him. Because he's like, oh, I'm shit, everyone hates me, I'm rubbish at this. And then I got a first from Oxford. You're like, what's going on? And I have this incredibly storied documentary career, and I've won the documentary Oscars, the Grierson Award. Anyway, I liked Adam Buxton's Ramble book, which is by turns extremely harrowingly sad about the dad of his death, the death of his dad, not the dad of his death, and then really fun because it's about his childhood in the 80s listening to cool music, and it's mostly framed around the music that he loved. And also, if you like Adam and Joe, it has a bonus Adam and Joe podcast at the end in the audiobook, which is good. And I'm listening to Limmy's autobiography, which is weirdly hard going. Limmy's life sounds actually pretty unpleasant until he got famous. That's hard work, but I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Well, isn't everything these
days? I guess.
Bonus if you enjoy it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's true.
There we go. Do you know what I was recently thinking about? Just brought up on a tangent here. Why aren't there any good Professor Layton games on Switch?
Because they're all coming to mobile first.
Yeah, I guess. I think the problem is that Professor Layton was a game that did VV well with a certain type of crowd that was buying DSs and probably aren't buying Switches. And those people now play games on mobile.
But I want to play them.
Yeah, I never fully got into those games.
I love a good bit of puzzles.
Yeah. There aren't a lot of puzzles, I will say that. And apparently that new brain training wasn't fantastic.
Two Picrosses away from completing Picross S4.
I still not bought it. I should do that. I got so into Picross so hard that now I've taken a break because it was too powerful. Also, my Switch rails are slightly broken, so I can't really play in handheld mode, and that's a real downer. Right.
Oh dear. Anyway, that was a little tangent.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I suppose we need some music. I mean, Fuser? I don't know,
we've got footage of it on the site. We've got new gameplay footage. I'm sure we should rip a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Let's play some Fuser music. I love it. If I could nice. Record my own, I'd give it to you because I've got some fucking good mixes with Lizzo.
Can you just beatbox for us?
No, absolutely not. You insane.
It would have been good back when your voice was.
Yeah, that would have been quite good.
Anyway,
sweet dreams.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.